This is Sexploration with Monica. Welcome. It's Friday night. I hope you're feeling frisky because we have a lot of fun in store for you. We're at the bondage dinner tonight. And among our distinguished sexperts, we have Alice in Bondage Land, Tom Foolery, who's been a bondage rigger for over 15 years. He's going to do several bondage and suspension scenes. And I'm actually wearing kind of like a little rope. Well, it's decorative. It's like a little rope harness slash corset thing. It's actually pretty shiny and makes kind of a heart over my heart chakra. So I'm like, ooh. I mean, you know, bondage doesn't have to be scary. It can be beautiful and fun and fashionable even. Tonight, Rick Umba is here, Bix Warden from Mission Control and Kinky Salon and all those sex parties down at Mission Control. We're going to talk with her about the Velvet Party and all sorts of stuff in just a few moments. It's going to be a fun night. And I'm looking forward to the golden beet salad. Golden beets and watermelon. It's fennel and feta and cucumber and honey lemon vinaigrette. Mmm. And bondage. This is Sexploration with Monica.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is Sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica. Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com.
This is Sexploration with Monica, and welcome to the bondage dinner, Vix. I'm glad you could make it.
Me too. Thank you, Monica.
I know that you're working on a lot of different projects at Mission Control. I know there's another Velvet Party coming up. Is that right?
That's right. It's coming up on September the 10th. It's a Friday.
And what other projects is Mission Control involved in? I know that you're doing a pink party, Club Kiss.
We have pink coming up on the 20th of August. It's a pre-playa party. And we have sex tips for the playa with Dr. Friendly, which will be very fun and exciting. He's a scientist at large.
He's the one that not only does he know a lot about sex and I'm imagining Burning Man because he's quite a burner, but he does a lot of work with algae and how algae is going to save the world.
He does. He's actually working for NASA on a project to get rid of toxins in the environment with algae.
So the algae eats the toxins.
Exactly.
Amazing.
He's brilliant.
And, yeah, I can only imagine what sort of sex tips he'll have for the... I mean, because honestly, you think Burning Man is so sexy, but then you try to have sex there and you're like, ah, no one's showered in a week. You know, it's really easy to get some kind of infection. You know what I mean? There's a lot to look out for.
It's true. I haven't been there in a while, but I'm going this year.
Oh, really? It's your first time in a while?
In a while, yeah.
Me too. Actually, I haven't been in the last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because it is kind of a commitment. You're out in the desert, and everyone thinks, oh, it's such an amazing party, but you really have to take care of yourself.
You do. It's a very harsh environment. I always say it's like camping on the moon, if the moon had atmosphere.
Right. Now, do you camp with Mission Control? Are you going to be in the Unicorn Village?
I sure am. And we're doing a unicorn stampede as well.
What's a unicorn stampede?
We're going to run around to other camps and perform unicornification on people.
What's unicornification?
We're going to turn them into unicorns.
Now, do you mean like the magical, mythical beast that has a horn in his head or like the single woman who hooks up at sex parties?
Well, I'd like to think that I represent both definitions.
Of course.
You know, but basically we are sort of the mythical, you know, magical forest of unicorns.
So you have like horns, etc.
Exactly.
And you're going to staple them to people's heads.
Well, we won't staple them, but we will attach them.
Consensually.
Exactly.
Excellent. Are you guys going to be teaching any classes at Burning Man?
I'm not sure. I think we have some people in our camp who are going to teach.
And there's a lot of different classes that are offered at Burning Man. I know that there's suspended animation, which Tom Foolery is a part of that camp. It's like the bondage camp out on the playa. They offer bondage rides for people if you want to get tied up out at Burning Man, your first experience or whatever.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, and later on in the show, Rick Umba is going to offer to the audience just anyone who wants to get tied up. So that'll be exciting, too. And I know that you often have at Mission Control, like Midori did some bondage classes.
Yes, and we've had Madame Butterfly come, too, and do workshops and also stay for some of the events and tie people up. And when we have Threshold, which is our fetish and BDSM night, we have a lot of people doing suspensions and tying people up. Mike West was doing suspensions in the little kind of roof air shaft area because he needed some space. And it was nice because there's windows on all sides so people could watch. It was really great.
Oh, wow. And Threshold is the event that's thrown by Stefanos. Is that right, Maestro Stefanos?
Maestro Stefanos and Shai, yes.
And they sort of work as a polyamorous couple, but also they're educators. Isn't that right?
They are. They do a lot of classes at Good Vibrations and other places and at the Citadel.
Do you know what any of their classes are called by any chance?
I can't recall right off the top of my head, but they have various different kinds of classes having to do with fetish and BDSM.
Safety, consent, that sort of thing.
I think so. And also possibly, I don't know if they do bondage as well. I went to one event at the Citadel where Stefanos was a fire top and had the fire glove that he was using on people. That was so much fun.
He uses this thing called the Of Glove, and he sets it on fire, and then he touches people with it. It's really the most amazing thing.
It was very amazing. I got to get touched with the Of Glove. It was wonderful.
Yeah, he, I think, then calls it the Love Glove or something, because people love fire so much, because it's such a thrill.
It really is.
Now, do you enjoy being scared, or what did you get out of that fire experience?
Well, I used to be really afraid of fire when I was a kid. I've had long hair for years, and I used to kind of, you know, it used to catch on fire and candles and stuff, and so I was always kind of wary of it. So I have that kind of natural, instinctual getaway feeling. So it is really kind of exciting and challenging to me to have people put fire on me. But it's also, it feels really good. It's really warm, and it's a whole trust, you know, exercise. When you trust somebody enough to put fire on your body, that's a really intimate thing, and it's really fun.
Yeah, and it's a thrill too, because you're like, oh, you know,
fire.
that's right. Excellent. So what else is coming up in Mission Control that you want to talk about before we head into dinner?
Well, I want to talk about something that Poly Superstar is doing, which is our new zine called San Fransexy. And it's going to be not just online, but also we're actually going to put together paper copies of it too, so old-fashioned, and or retro, I should say, and hand them out to various, you know, businesses and event spaces and organizations, sex-positive organizations. And in the first issue, we have Dr. Carol Queen writing about San Francisco sex history, and Dr. Charlie Glickman is going to be writing a column. It's going to be our Good Vibes column, and he's going to be writing about all about lube, everything you wanted to know about lube for the first issue. And we have Marsha Baczynski of Cuddle Party fame is going to be writing for us, and Dixie De La Tour of Body Storytelling, and Baron Levkoff is going to be doing a column, a kind of advice column for men. And it's going to be a really wonderful, wonderful thing, so we're very excited about it.
Exciting, yeah. In fact, Baron Levkoff is also known as Professor Violet, isn't that right?
Yes, he is. And he has a dandy workshop that he does for men, all about how to be a dandy. And
what's a dandy?
Someone, a gentleman who dresses in a certain way and has a certain sense of style.
I see. And so it's taking that, like, that old-fashioned steampunk sensibility and then bringing it into the modern sex-positive world?
Yes. Yes, in a nutshell.
Excellent. Yeah, he would be the person to ask about that, that's for sure. Excellent. Well, let's head into dinner. I think they're going to start with first course soon. It's golden beet and watermelon salad with, like, fennel and cucumber and mâché, and it's going to be awesome.
I think I just came a little.
This is Sexploration with Monica. We're here at the bondage dinner. This is Sexploration with Monica. I'm here with Miss Tickle, and this is your first bondage dinner, isn't it, dear?
It is. I've been meaning to come for a long time, but I finally made it out tonight, and I'm so excited I did.
So, we haven't even had our first course yet, which I'm, by the way, looking forward to, because it's going to be, like, beet and watermelon, golden beets and watermelons.
Sounds delicious.
So, what have you seen so far?
Well, we walked in and there was a scene in progress. There was a man, a tall man in a tall gray top hat, tying up this beautiful specimen of a woman to a stairwell. And he had kind of suspended her to either rail of the stairs. And she was writhing around as he tied her, and he kept, you know, I kept thinking, oh, he must be done, but he'd find some new way to suspend her. Really, really hot. And as he finished up, he actually, suddenly someone turned a pink spotlight on them, which just sort of threw the whole scene into even sexier relief. And then he was at the top of the stairs at her head. Suddenly he slithered down and crawled down the stairs underneath her, like dragging his hands underneath her all the way and like spanking her as he went down. It was really hot. Wow. Yeah, I was you know, talking to people and going around and saying hello to people. And then suddenly the pink spotlight came on and I was right underneath the stairs at the bottom and looking right up. And she was so symmetrically tied to the stairwell with her stripy little underwear. I was like, wow.
A very sexy beginning to the evening.
Indeed, indeed. And I think it's going to be like that all night long. It's the theme is bondage and Hollywood. So we're going to have Fred Astaire dancers. We're going to have some slam poetry over at the end of the table. That's Jamie DeWolf, and that's Sis from Tourette's Without Regrets. Rick Umba is going to be tying that girl Mary to the table and then feeding her dinner. We have the beautiful Shameless Heather, who looks a lot like Marilyn Monroe. Bix Warden from Mission Control. And do you see that lady in the sequin blue dress? That's Alice in Bondage Land. And that man is dressed as a like full latex all the way from head to toe.
We were actually wondering how he's going to eat. He's got some sort of straw coming out of his mouth, but that's about the only opening. So unless she's going to puree his entire dinner, he might be going without tonight.
It's sort of sad because I think it's going to be good, but it's kind of weird because he's got some sort of, ooh, there he goes.
He's drinking.
He actually can stick his little straw into the water and suck. Wow. Oh, it's great. You always see something new here at the Supper Club Bondage Dinner.
That's why I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us, Miss Tickle. This is Sexploration with Monica.
Look, it's our beet salad. There's watermelon in there.
You have to make this quick because I'm feeding her.
So this is Sexploration with Monica. We're here at the Bondage Dinner. I'm sorry, what was your plan for this evening?
To take Mary around, and first of all, we're going to feed her. Right? The whole idea of feeding someone who's tied up is so hot, you know, and you can ask her about it. She'll probably find it hot, too. I don't know yet.
You haven't checked in with her on that yet.
No, but she's found everything hot.
Are you going to tie her up?
Eventually. She's already tied up. See?
Oh, she's wearing shackles. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, there's something I made back in the 10 years ago or so. It's what they call a bondage belt, and then she's got manacles on her wrists. And I've attached the manacles to the belt, so she can't really eat.
Wow. And it's Miss V. Hello, darling.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
Fabulous.
I'm going to get on the mic soon. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Anytime. So you're going to feed her, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to feed her, and then once that gets done, we're going to walk her. Actually, I'm going to walk her around early, and we're going to try to drum up some business for me tying up the audience.
Fantastic. Okay, well, enjoy your salad. Yes, I'll take that beet salad right over there, darling. This is the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. Hooray! And now sparkly Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers dancers are gliding across the floor. This is the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. It's Sexploration with Monica. And everyone's sparkly and gay. Supper Club Bondage Dinner.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Fred and Ginger. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Supper Club San Francisco. That's right, I like the way that sounds. My name is Miss V, like vagina.
Yay!
Who likes vagina? Me too, oh my god. I love vagina, sometimes. Welcome to Bon. Oh wait, Miss V, not E, not D, not STD, and definitely not 3. I love you. Bondage night?
Yay!
Are you ready for a little bondage?
Yay!
Special guest, Monica from Slexploration. Come on up, darling.
Thank you. We have a very exciting night in store for you. I hope you enjoyed this staircase scene. That was Jesse and Tom Foolery. Yeah, fabulous. And we love sluts here at Supper Club, don't we?
Let's give a cheer for sluts!
Also, we have Rick Umba and Mary. He's going to be doing some bondage. If you would like to be tied up for the first time or just right now, Rick Umba. Oh, you want to be tied up. Oh, you, the Bachelorette wants to be tied up. Do you really want to get tied up? That can totally be part of it. Okay, good. Good, good, good. She wants to get tied up later. Okay, good. So if you want to get tied up later, we have lots of people and lots of rope to do it. We also have, from Tourette's Without Regrets, that's Jamie DeWolf and Sis. They'll be doing some slam poetry later. Poetry. That's right, darling. And Alice in Bondage Land is sitting next to Gumby, who's a little bit gimpy today, and you should check out how he actually consumes. It's really impressive. He's got this little funnel straw thing going. It's really crazy. So you can listen to Sexploration with Monica every Friday night from 8 to 10 on FCC Free Radio, and thanks so much for coming out to the Supper Club tonight. Thanks, dear.
I love you. Give it up for Monica, ladies and gentlemen. Now, are we ready to have a good time tonight? I have two of my very, very favorite massage therapists in the house. They're very, very, very good with their hands. Look at his hands.
I love
He's
a
really
man
good.
With big
she
hands.
She is too. So if you need a massage, just wave your arm. Ooh, look what you started. Slut. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a fabulous evening planned out for you, so sit back, relax, and welcome to Supper Club.
Bondage tastes so good. It's the first course at the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. I'm Monica, and this is a special broadcast of Sexploration with Monica from the Supper Club. And I'm enjoying my golden beet and watermelon salad with fennel, cucumber, feta, mâché, and honey lemon vinaigrette. And the fun thing is that, of course, not only is there like flashy Hollywood sparkle, and we just had the Fred Astaire dancers on, and there was some bondage earlier, but also our salad is in a dog bowl. So, and there's several people at our table that are, you know, in service, and so being tied up and kind of led around by a leash and that sort of thing, and being fed their dinner by their dominant. So it's going to be a colorful evening, and thanks for joining us. There's certainly more to come.
Bondage dinner?
It wasn't my idea. The bondage dinner wasn't my idea. But no, I just happened upon it. And
but
then
have you been doing it since the beginning?
Yes. Yeah, I happened upon it before its inception. And they were like, yeah, we don't have any bondage. And I'm like, well, you really should have some bondage at the bondage dinner. Let me help you out with that. And then a beautiful party was born for here at the bondage dinner. This is a special on-location broadcast of Sexploration with Monica. And around the table we have, seriously, glitter and gimps. Like, everyone's wearing either, like, shiny fur and diamonds and rhinestones and sequins or collars and collars or, I mean, it's just really epic. And now Daria and John John have just taken the stage. How good my soup is. First of all, it's creamy and it's bacony. It's sweet potato soup with micro cilantro, red pepper, and bacon salsa. They made salsa out of bacon. The Supper Club. In fact, you know their motto. If you are looking for ordinary, Supper Club is not for you. This is Sexploration with Monica. On location at Supper Club, and this is the Bondage Dinner. How is your soup?
My soup is pretty awesome.
Creamy little, and bacony, huh?
Little bits and chunks of bacon and some red pepper. Nice little cilantro bite to it.
It was micro cilantro.
Micro cilantro.
A special kind of cilantro just for you.
Lick your spoon, kind of good.
Warm welcome to actor number one.
There's a tornado that just destroyed your whole hometown. We need some drama in here. Wizard of Oz, take two.
Actor number two is like, do I really have to do this? He's wearing a sparkly headband.
Are you dancing? Take one.
Action!
Nobody put baby in the corner.
Is that what
you're
still
doing?
I'd like to feel extra dirty.
That's Miss Alice in Bondage Land.
We just want a little bit of physicality.
Dirtier
dancing. Take two.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, yeah!
With spanking hand motions, no less. Woo!
Wonderful job, thank you. And let's bring up
action
number three to the mic, please.
That's right.
A hush falls over the room. We're keeping it dirty. Dirty Harry, take one.
Action.
Go ahead and make mommy dirty.
Let's go ahead and just bring it up.
Let's see what it's like.
No.
As if you were just castrated. Pretty hairy. Take two.
And action.
Go ahead and bring my hair.
Thank you all. Audience, let's bring our people back out.
Wasn't it great to share those movie moments again here alive? The kinky, the bachelorette, the bachelorette, or was it the dirty dancing? If we're looking for most improved, the dancing did get a lot dirtier, but when Dirty Harry came on stage, I think everyone was feeling a little dangerous. Okay. There can only be one winner, ladies and gentlemen. There can only be one.
Really fun. So I think we are ready.
Okay, I think the Academy has actually come to a decision.
Oh my God.
And for the best actor on the spot goes to Opry, Dirty Harry. It was a tour de force performance speech.
I'd like to thank my mom and George Clooney and God Jesus. Everyone else, though. And the straw in his mouth and everyone else is.
He's talking about the gift guy.
Thank you. Yay, let's hear it for our winner.
That's good.
He's got a silver wrapped bottle of champagne. Ladies and gentlemen. It's Supperwood tonight from Hollywood. You know, bondage and Hollywood. Two great tastes that go great together.
Thank you all so much for being here at the Supperwood Academy Awards. I'm Daria.
And this is John signing off.
But we're not signing out. Next up, we have a very special performance. It's a slam poet, Jamie DeWolf, who's going to take the stage right now.
He is from Tourette's Without Regrets. Dinner party ever. I'm sitting next to a gimp and a girl on a leash. Why does not Denny's have this shit? Come on now. I see the trend happening. Folks, before I start, can I please get a little round of applause for Prop 8 getting overturned? Yeah! Not just for the rights, but just for the fact it makes Republicans so fucking angry that, I mean, we just gotta give it up to that. Making Christians raving, red-faced, lunatics acting like marriage is sacred when they're on their third, right? It's a beautiful thing. So I think the same thing every time I come in and I see there's a hot blondie over there with the mohawk tied up and sexy and the latex. And, you know, anytime I go to the sex club and there's all the latex, first thing I think is I am fucking fat and I need to hit a gym like pronto. Anybody else with me? Anybody else feeling like, yeah? Gonna start turning away some dishes tonight? Okay, we'll do that later. So I'm gonna do a little piece here for all those with some body issues. Which goes out to the ladies. Where the ladies at, this motherfucker? It's a little offensive, but just stay with me. Anytime a woman ever asks me, does this make me look fat? My answer was always, honey, abso-fucking-lutely. You look like a hippopotamus in a tubie with a sumo wrestler in a pigsty. Like the notorious B.I.G. got locked overnight in the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. You are a nasty, functified sewer hag. You might as well wear a garbage bag or a burlap sack. Because you can make mirrors grind themselves back down to sand. Shut the fuck up and stop asking me that. Maybe rip out your own eyes, turn them around and show you that you are hot. You are beautiful. You got a mouth that make me get in a car wreck. Lips that can suck an eyeball out of its socket. An ass that hobbits can light their pipe weed off of, cause that shit is smoking. When you get naked, angels dragging themselves in their own halos. This would be the first temptation of Christ. That's why it came 2,000 years before you were born, because even God couldn't stand in prayer before you. I could get a hard on watching you clean your ears with a Q-tip. Even if you use menstrual blood as lipstick, baby, you are so hot. I want to rip out my teeth with pliers just so I can grin bigger when I see you. You are so beautiful.
I should be left alone with you at your own open casket funeral.
Look at you! Standing in front of the mirror saying, I think I'm giving a gut!
What are you, Kate Moss on a coke binge? You should have the guts to have a gut! That's why they call them guts! Shut the fuck up! I will make butt freaking love to you until you're so old and wrinkled that you can fart dust, but hey! What a surprise. Another woman who's unhappy with her bra size. Honey, what if a bunch of men decided that our God-given testicles just weren't big enough? And they sat too much. So now I got a ball job so that I can rack these boys in a zinc cup. I don't need to wear beer goggles because you are top shelf and you have raised the bar. And I will kiss, mwah, every zit on your ass to show you flesh is an insult to what you are. Your body is the word fire spelled out in Braille. And the blind can feel your heat even if it was sent through the mail. And if you're as beautiful on the inside as you are on the out, I bet you have the hottest spleen that no one has ever seen. So spit out that taste of defeat. Shake that puttin' ass on two left feet. Come over here and love me. Girl, let's bump uglies. Cause even with the meat cleaned off your bones, I don't need a microphone to scream that you are hot. You are beautiful, so break your mirror with your fist. Do whatever it takes for you to admit there's no refund on your body, so you just gotta own it. Because the most beautiful people in this life are the ones who never know it. Thank you.
This is The Bondage Dinner with Sexploration with Monica. This is Sexploration with Monica. We're at The Bondage Dinner. And Alice from Alice in Bondage Land is getting Gumby all gimped out. So we're going to have a little scene. It's going to be fun. Come with us.
So talk to her if you want him to get shocked and balls, okay?
So now she's turning Gimpy around in his latex outfit and kind of roughhousing him a little bit. The bachelorette in the devil outfit has the remote control that is attached to his testicles. His knees just buckled a little bit. He must be a really...
No, I think the best thing about Bond...
He must be really good at tolerating pain. Ooh, he didn't even react to one. That's amazing. Putting him in a different kind of gimpy outfit. This one has like a it's a behind the arm sleeve for his hands. Now the crowd is calling out, three. Oh, his knees buckled again. Yes, that he must have felt that one. You can actually see the electrodes dangling from his crotch. The devilish bachelorette is kind of dancing around gleefully as she's asking her friends, should I push one? Should I push two? Now she wants to see his face. Oh, it's around his nose. She's pulling him around by a chain through his nose. And now she's spanking him. Interview him after this, that's for sure. See how he feels. He's making the most interesting sounds.
Thank you very much for participating
in his punishment. Wow. Oh, goodness.
How was that?
It was awesome.
That wasn't
yeah,
fun.
It was so cool.
And what did when you went over to look at his face, what did you see?
Well, like
he's wearing the GIMP mask, isn't he?
No, it was like his pelvic reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can see the electrodes dangling from his
face.
Crotch.
Yeah.
Because he's wearing the GIMP
totally.
Mask.
Totally. It was rad. It was awesome.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was totally cool. I didn't think it worked at first, and then when I started buzzing him when I didn't even know I was.
Oh.
Then that's when I was like, oh, yeah, he's feeling it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Thanks.
Interesting stuff. Sexploration with Monica at the Bondage Dinner. Like a little Trent Reznor and a very cute man wearing some sort of like Batman collar and doing some gyrations. Oh, and taking off his panties. Woo, woo. Of course, is all going on while we're enjoying olive oil poached white bass with salad. saffron lemon risotto, haricot and Moroccan chamoula. Oh no, too much beauty. Too much sexy. Too much raucous frivolity. Is that even possible? No, it's the Supper Club bondage dinner.
I want to hear a little love for dangerous sex. Who's with me? Come on. It takes 15 seconds to choke anyone unconscious. My girlfriend gets wet in 10. Our first date, we didn't have sex. Instead, I went all old school Amish style. I wrapped a black leather belt tied around her porcelain neck and made her whisper in my ear to hit her. I said, you know how hard it makes me to hit you? I want you to ask for it. Ask for it. I wanted to guarantee that I'd be something more than a one-night stand, so I ensured for the next week she couldn't sit down without feeling the phantom limbs of my teeth or my hands. The second day, I decided to take it up a notch. And to be honest, true story, I didn't know if it was loaded or not, but I still cocked the Glock against her moaning face and started a third-story window as I fucked her from behind. As she writhed on a choke collar leash, making her scream my name to neighbors walking their dogs down the Oakland afternoon street. This is a razor's edge of savagery and sexuality, where guns and roses, where switchblades and lingerie, where flesh and blood and bone meet. She didn't walk in my bedroom door that I was a freak. If you got an appetite for destruction and shit, the wolf could cook you up with thieves. The third day, I wanted to torture her, so I didn't hit her. Instead, she sucker punched me with a confession that she gets off during sex by pretending to be my sister. Since then, I've fucked her as her brother, her daddy, her uncle, and taken her virginity as a visiting poetry slam teacher. Up next is a cop, a jock, and an evangelical preacher. You see, bachelorette, monogamy is easy when you got an endless cast of characters in your triple X Rolodex. Desperate times call for desperate pleasures, but don't you dare start calling me a bad man. What can I say? It's a Scorpio thing. Some of y'all wouldn't understand. But every Valentine's Day, I gotta suffer through this soft parade, candlelit celebration of the slow, soft, and sensual. When every study shows that rape is the number one sexual fantasy for women as long as it's consensual. And if your girl likes a little blood with her spit, she doesn't need a psychiatrist, she needs a professional. Ski mask, handcuffs, and electrical tape, you don't gotta understand every orgasm, just help facilitate. Gentlemen, when your girlfriend says she wants to be fucked harder, that doesn't mean just growl, grab her hair, and move your pelvis. She's moving, you have the women's intuition to know that right now, she doesn't need a boyfriend right now, she needs a master. And I would never hit a woman who didn't like it. But if she does, aw shit, I'd be Bruce Lee's Irish haymaker swinging sidekick. There's no saying that a rear naked choke can't be an aphrodisiac. Shit, I wish I had a ref to scream, get it on every time I unzip, cause my bedroom is an arena, not a fucking yoga mat. And this year's for all the couples bringing Kinky back. This for all the couples who go shopping for sex toys at the pet store. The bedrooms, where the word stop translates to more, and no means yes. Girl, take this blade and carve your name in my chest like a new form of the scarlet alphabet. I'm gonna fuck your head so hard against the wall that a World War vet can mistake it for the Morse code for SOS. Sex so freaky that if a SWAT team broke into our bedroom, they wouldn't know which pervert to arrest. Our foreplay is detailing fantasies about breaking into our neighbors' houses and fucking on their children's empty beds. Yeah, freaky shit. My Republican convention, give me a little love here, motherfuckers. Freaky shit. Like, fuck a dozen roses and slit our wrists with the thorns and mix the blood in a kiss. Freaky shit. Like, shaving and pretending that you're both six. Freaky shit. Like, one day I want to get a big ass van, kidnap her off the street in the middle of the day, Drive around alone in the middle of the woods, make her strip at knife point, and fuck her in the dirt before she digs her own ditch. Yeah, freaky shit. And us freaks are everywhere. Businessmen wearing gimp gear under a three-piece suit. Girls caressing the knife slashes under her bra that you would mistake for abuse. But you see, that's what love is all about. Pushing your limits, transforming the norm like wine into Guinness, your wife into your mistress. And this was how I love you. Bruised, battered, and ravaged, past the holy trinity of blood, steel, and spit. Because I only grab you this hard, because I want your heart to wear my fingerprints. My name's Jamie DeWolf. Have a good fucking night. Thank you.
Jamie DeWolf of Tourette's Without Regrets. This is Sexploration with Monica. We're here at the Bondage Dinner, and I'm sitting next to Alice of Alice in Bondage Land. Thanks for coming to the Bondage Dinner tonight.
How could I resist such a delicious opportunity?
You really capitalized on it. I'm really impressed. The gimp that you brought is magnificent.
Thank you. I made him myself. I actually really want to thank you for pointing out the fact that I brought a gimp with me, because that's one of those long-standing, very deeply held fantasies of, bring out the gimp. And today I've actually, after 2 years of training Gumby, this is one of his grand debuts as my personal gimp. So it's kind of a nice victory lap to bring him here to the dinner.
Oh, excellent. Well, what's really nice about the Bondage Dinner is that it's so, I mean, of course, anything's allowed, but then also it's like this beautiful, classy environment where you can wear your fabulous, you know, long sequin dress and then parade around your gimp on a leash.
Exactly. I really wanted to bring some latex here because it's such a sensuous material that so few people, especially in the U.S., have ever felt before, that it's great to get to introduce people to it and to watch it stretch and let them pet it.
Yeah. That bachelorette loved pushing the button.
I found that a lot of the women here are really curious about those magic buttons. Now, most of the women that have encountered my gimp and I this evening have just pressed the one, the lowest setting. It goes from 1 to 3. 1 is kind of, ouch. 2 is, ooh, we're really getting there. And then 3 is very intense. But I noticed that any man that gets his hand on that button goes immediately for the 3.
Really?
Right for it. It's like they think that because, I think they assume that because they're attached, that really must be what he wants.
Wow.
Whereas the women are kind of quietly horrified yet aroused.
Right. Interesting. And how do you make a gimp? Like you said that you made him. How does that happen? And how long did it take?
Well, I find chastity is an excellent enforcer for any male submissive, especially. Female subs can kind of get around it because, you know, girls can hump a countertop or lean against a washing machine. But Gumby has been in chastity to me for 16 weeks now.
Wow.
In that time, he's been wearing a device that makes it physically impossible for him to get fully erect and physically impossible for him to fully get off.
Oh, wow.
So that's a really powerful way to earn someone's submission on a whole new level, because now his sexuality is literally on my keychain. So he has extra impetus to please me and to serve me in any way that I see fit, because there's that ultra powerful connection now between us, since I literally control his sexuality.
And when he first came to you, what did he want?
When he first came to me, he wanted to be completely controlled. He's a very intelligent man who is in charge most of the whole rest of his life. So coming to me, he knows that I'm powerful enough that I can handle him not just playing around. The bondage is real, the submission is real, and my power over him is very real. So this is an avenue in which he can really be free, because he doesn't have to be in charge of everything. I've taken care of his physical and his mental needs. If there's a problem, he can tell me about it, but the rest of the time, his life is about letting go of his selfhood and focusing on how he can please me or whoever I tell him to please.
Like bachelorette number one.
Exactly.
She was
like
delighted.
Bachelorette number one.
She was like, yeah, that's the best thing ever. And she was like dancing around and watching his face. And at first she didn't know it was working. And then she's like accidentally pushing it and his knees are buckling. And she's like, whoa.
I was delighted with that. She approached me earlier, and I introduced her to the system, and I introduced her to my slave. She actually requests to be clipped onto my leash with him. So a little while today, Bachelorette number one was in the sub position as well. It's been a journey of discovery for her tonight, I think.
I know, and on the eve of her nuptials.
Just in time.
Yeah, right.
Now she'll have some tricks for her wedding night.
Yeah. So, when people enter into submission with you, how do you tell what they want?
There's a lot of careful conversations that often go into it. I like to set a few parameters of what they don't want so that I can sketch in the bounds of the sandbox. But from there, a lot of it is about exploration and communication. They might be somebody who's worn panties before in secret and has always wanted to know what those stockings felt like. Or they could be someone who knows that they enjoy pain but has never really been pushed before. So it's always best to start out with, what have you done to yourself when you masturbate? And what have you done and what have you asked your lovers to do? Oh, really? How did that feel? And it's about kind of developing both a picture of who the person is and an image of where I could take them. That would be new or that would give them some kind of insight about themselves.
So how do you take someone farther and take them to the edge without going past their boundaries?
Everybody has a safe word. So there's a code phrase that will stop all the action, even if stop isn't necessarily going to be the word that I honor. They always have a safe sign in case they're gagged. And a lot of it is about ramping it up. You know, the first time that somebody comes to me, they've never been tied up. Well, I might tie up their wrists using some leather restraints that are soft. But if they come to me again the next time saying, bondage really got to me. You know, the next time I might try some rope bondage on them. And if they keep coming back wanting to push that envelope, out comes the duct tape and the saran wrap and we can mummify them and hang them from the ceiling. And there's always somewhere more you can take it. So I like riding the edge of I've never tried this before, or it really turns me on, but I'm not sure if I should be allowed to be turned on by that. If I can find those buttons and push them with my submissives, then it feels like we're really learning about each other on the journey as well as getting off on it.
Wow. I have two questions. One, what do you do with saran wrap? And two, let's just find out what you do with saran wrap.
Saran wrap is a really delicious, kinkable kitchen aid.
Yeah.
It goes great against skin. If somebody is curious if they'll enjoy latex or not, saran wrap, because it holds in all your body's moisture, will stew you in your own juices in a clingy, restrictive way that actually, using saran wrap or pallet wrap, I could suspend somebody from the ceiling just because it distributes their weight so evenly. But even though it has a little bit of stretch, once you layer it on, it becomes very, very immobilizing bondage. Now, if somebody wants to take it a little further than that, saran wrap also makes a great first layer for a good old-fashioned duct tape mummification scene so that you don't have to worry about pulling any of their hair off afterwards. That'll give you a nice solid base to go from.
Oh, wow. Right. So you're not like also doing the depilatory. You just wrap them up in saran wrap.
Yeah, wrap them up in saran wrap first. If somebody has a set of clothes that they're willing to donate to the cause, you can do it right over their t-shirt too. But then there's no way to get the tape off afterwards. You have to cut them out.
Right, right. So what do you spoke earlier about, like, you know, you're both exploring, like your submissive is exploring his or her limits, and then you're exploring yourself too. What do you learn about yourself by being dominant?
It's been quite a journey. I spent 10 years in service to other mistresses before I started accepting submissives of my own. So there's a whole lot that both people bring to the table when they're being that honest or when they're going that deep. Even if they're pretending to be other people, you know, you're really digging around inside of what really makes one another tick as soon as you start pushing those hot buttons. So I've often found surprising wells of strength within me when confronted by someone who desperately needs to be taken there, who wants to be taken down, who wants to submit, but there's something standing in the way. So either there's some edge of control that they're not quite willing to let go of, or a piece of trust that is missing. But most of the time it's the idea that the woman or the dominant that they're serving can't handle them somehow, that they would be too much if they really let it all go. So a lot of what I do is about opening myself up as a mirror so that I can then guide the submissive to really go there and see what happens without having to be afraid of, oh my God, she'll never speak to me again if she really knew what I was thinking about.
Right. Well, you're like delving into people's like deepest, darkest fantasies. Like really, what are the things you do when you're alone and the ways you touch yourself? And then also like, I don't know, I imagine like after you really sock it to someone, they're kind of messy. You know, they've got a lot of snot and maybe some blood and ooze everywhere. I mean, I imagine that people feel pretty vulnerable after all that.
It can open people up in ways that they don't expect, sometimes that they're not prepared for. I mean, even before the strap-ons come out, you're really laid bare to me once you're in my dungeon and on my table, because once you're that vulnerable with someone, you really can't hide it. You know, if my high heels turn you on, I'll notice and exploit it, ideally, but only in the most delicious of ways. But yeah, but there's a lot of trust goes into it. I really respect my clients and my play partners because they really have to dig deep to find the willingness to even admit that they want me or that they want to go there with me. So a lot of what I do is create a safe space or a container where all that can be really possible. That way we can set off all the fireworks.
Wow! It's so dangerous and yet so alluring.
Delicious. Well, I mean, this is graduate school sex. A lot of people don't discover this until they're in their 30s and 40s. But I had the good fortune to come of age here in the shadow of San Francisco. So the only thing I've ever used a fake ID for was to get me into the Folsom Street Fair when I was 16.
And what draws you to this work?
Well, in my vanilla life, I spent a lifetime in hospice care. And I still sometimes will take on people who are going through a death experience or who have a family member is passing. But I feel like this helps me get to people before it's too late. You know, instead of working with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I'm looking to the people that are healthy and repressed now. It's a lot easier to get into trouble if you realize what it is you want and find someone, anyone, be it a partner or a mistress or someone on the phone. Finding that one person saying, me too, can be really life-changing. So now I try and find people while there's still enough time to get into some real trouble.
Because it is sort of like almost a spiritual experience to really be vulnerable with someone and really see more clearly how powerful or how open you can be.
It's true. I think for a lot of people it's powerful to be witnessed in their kink. A lot of these people who've been masturbating to videos or have a few toys or wear these clothes and have never shared it with anyone. So even just to sit back and witness what it is that moves them can be really, really powerful. But yeah, there's a thing. I enjoy how it evolves. With each person, it's different. Each person has their own journey with it. And that's a lot of where the learning comes in for me, is because I get to join them in this experience.
So, do you always necessarily play to orgasm?
That really depends on the person. There are many people I think that an orgasm at the end of the scene would kind of spoil it for them, because what they really want to do is push their lust to the next level. So I play with a lot of people who I would say go into voluntary chastity. I would add that I don't fully trust people that are in voluntary chastity. I think adding some kind of a device always makes it a little juicier. But there's a whole group of men primarily who either feel like their sexuality is more than they can control or handle, or for whatever reason feel the need to give it over to someone stronger than them, feel the need to give it to a woman so that they won't masturbate as chronically, or so that they'll be more focused. So not everyone is looking for an orgasm. I certainly enjoy a happy ending, but I don't foist it on those that either are disconnected from their sexuality or who kind of have ulterior motives in wanting to withhold it.
So how do you know when a scene is finished?
Well, some of my partners I only get to see for a certain amount of time. If we've rented space in a dungeon or if we're there for a shoot. Other people like Gumby, I mean, our scene has been going on for 16 weeks now. I send him home in a metal chastity belt that he has to show the FAA security guard before he can get on the plane.
And really?
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do to people these days.
he has to show it to him in his pants because he's always wearing it.
He's always wearing it 24/7. Now, there are plastic versions. The chastity device that Gumby wears is very special and is actually quite painful when he gets aroused. There are plastic devices and plastic numbered locks that if I really wanted to send him home in a stealthy way, he could get through that airplane with no problem. But I kind of like the extra humiliation of having to tell the security guard, no ma'am, it's a chastity belt.
Wow. And he travels frequently for his business.
He travels frequently back and forth. His wife is in on the arrangement, so I actually hold a key here. It's the only key in existence to his chastity belt. Stays here with me, and we have a kinky locksmith on call several states away where he and his wife have just moved. And that's kind of our way of continuing our relationship, even though he can now no longer see me once a week. Now we have kind of a constant reminder. And on special occasions, I'll send him home with a key so that his wife can play. Or I'll send him home in a serial numbered, breakable, one-time use lock, and his wife will play with him, put him in another lock, and email me and say, oh, Mistress Alice, I'm sending him back with number 3582. And if he's not wearing that, it's because he's done something naughty. So we try and keep tabs on him. We have Gumby on both sides, kind of coming and going. So he's a special case.
What? Now, is he naughty very often?
Gumby is very special. Gumby actually seeks to please. So where some people are kind of smart-ass masochists because they want the attention and they want that bad boy kind of punishment, Gumby actually excels at really trying his best to please me and to be honest, to please anyone that I assign him to. He takes it very seriously that his behavior reflects on me and that there are many ways to please me even when I'm not necessarily in the room.
That's why that seems great.
That's why he gets the special treats, like to come out to the bondage dinners with me.
That's why he gets to wear the funnel.
Exactly. That's why he's in that specialized gag over there.
Has he been enjoying the dinner as well?
He has been. We took the funnel gag off for a little while, and he got to join us at the beginning. I thought it was really fun to watch him eat from a dog dish without any silverware. That was right there on the highlights of my evening, is you commenting that I had a gimp, and me being delighted to recognize that at last I've achieved my diabolical goal of building a gimp from scratch, really. But also that I could, that we could enjoy this dinner, and it literally, like dog dish, no utensils, go for it, do your best.
Yeah, and you don't even have to cook or buy the dog dish at the pet store.
Exactly, this has been a lot of fun. Yeah, I think he's enjoyed the dinner a lot, both the exhibitionism and the tastiness.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking to him and hearing about his experience.
Well, it's a little hard for him to talk with a gag in his mouth, but you can try and get some answers out of him, definitely.
Yeah, I think definitely that should be on the agenda, because for me, I mean, as much as it's so interesting to talk to, you know, the dominant in the relationship, I think it's important for us to investigate what the submissive gets out of it.
That's true, and I think you'll find that the answers with each submissive vary as much as their kinks do. Some people are really in it to be pleasers. I find a lot of people are in it out of a sense of atonement. You know, we were told that when we were kids we were bad and we got a spanking and then we were forgiven. So now I think a lot of people are still looking for that, the uber spanking that will forgive all of their sins.
You gotta get a really big paddle.
That would be a very fun scene. I wield the paddle of forgiveness.
I was thinking about, you know, bondage dinner and your special night, and oh, Gimp has come over to have his hood opened up, and now we're having a quick check-in moment. Gumby the Gimp is talking to Alice, and he's still wearing the funnel gag, and maybe he's disappointed that the ice cream is melting on his Bartlett pear crumble. Ooh, it even has dark chocolate chips in it. Ooh, and Bailey's. This is Sexploration with Monica. We're at the bondage dinner. There's actually, another bondage scene going on right over there. It's Jesse and Tom Foolery. And he's got this crazy suspension setup going on with like a point way high in the ceiling, like, you know, two stories up. And then climbing rope and a carabiner and a pulley so that she's actually able to like jump around like a fairy. I'm really looking forward to it. This is the Supper Club Bondage Dinner.
Thanks for listening to Sexploration with Monica.